Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. We have an exciting show for you tonight, and I do mean exciting, with every letter in the word, E-X-C-I-T. It is Friday, September 18th. And if you want to listen to the show, please dial 347-633-9376 to tune into the show on your phone and any kind of phone that you have, a Galaxy, a Premium, a Flip, or whatever you got, we'll get my show all across the globe. And if you want to listen to the Internet, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Don S. McClure, and you will be on the show. So if you want to listen in and view and hear the sound and see the boards, go to the Internet. And you can write me, like a lot of you do, at Don, D-O-N-S, dot McClure at AOL.com, or Don S. McClure at DSMPublications.net. And if you want to make your support known, you can give a donation by going to my website, or you can buy one of my fabulous books on my website, and again, that is www.dsmpublications.net, and you will be on my site where you can get my new book, The Book of Inspiration, A Mind at Peace, and you can get my fabulous book that's just growing like crazy, To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers in the country, in the nation, in the world. It's one of the best crime thrillers ever written. And I just got my notifications last week. My book went to number 2 on Kindle, up under one other author. He was really good. But we have the highest book rating prices. His was $10.49 and mine was $9.99 on Kindle. Man, I'm just growing. I want to send a shout out to all my new fans in Texas, to those in Houston and to those in Dallas, and to all my fans, friends, and supporters who listen every Friday and that purchase my books and support my projects. I got to send out my mwah, 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 just send my kisses all over the Facebook, all over my all over my computer. My computer's looking at me like, quit slobbing on me. We have reached 118,650 fans. Yay! Hoo-ha, hoo-ha. Man, that sounds so corny, but yeah, we're at 1,118,000 fans. My sister just asked me the other day, she said, how many darn fans do you have now? You're just growing like crazy. I said, yeah, I'm like a weed. I'm just growing. And we will create a lot of new programs and new projects to help people in many cities across America. So again, I mean, I just can't deny I love being me. To my friend Michelle Anderson in Michigan, I'm looking forward to working with her. She's bringing me out to Detroit, and she wants to work to get a project together out there that we're going to do for a book signing presentation, and she's going to rally the forces and make sure it's a success so that we can support some of the programs in Detroit, Michigan. So without further ado, let's get the show started. And tonight's topic, we're looking at our family and our communities. What are the values of bringing together friends, associates, family, and business people? When an event is created, the whole purpose is to provide greater networking possibilities to foster goodwill between business and the community on a local, regional, and national level, if possible. Today, we look at the history of such events, and we're going to be talking in depth to a fabulous young lady that's in Houston, Texas. She is the national coordinator for the National Black Book Festival, and that's going to be held in Houston, Texas on October 22nd and October 24th. Ms. Gwen Richardson is going to be our guest at 7:30, and she's going to talk about the growth of her organization, the things she's doing in Houston, and what the National Black Book Festival can mean, not only in Houston, but I guess all over the United States. Man, I'm going to be so excited at 7:30. So, without further ado, we're going to get our show started, and I am just so, so darn excited. I mean, you know what? I was chasing the frogs off my concrete last night. They wouldn't go away. I was throwing rocks and everything at them, and they just looked at me and said, rook up, get away from me. Oh, man. I think they tried to attack me. I was having bad dreams. Anyway, I got a track that I'm going to play by Cheryl Lloyd. It's called Swagger Jagger, and it's in response to an email that I got from another author, and she was asking me about another author. And I said, look, don't worry about her. Spend your own time working on your stuff. Quit worrying about other people. So the appropriate song to start the show off tonight is called Swagger Jagger. Get your own stuff, do your own thing, and be about you, and quit worrying about other people. And I like this song because I think they were talking about me when they got this. You can't be talking about me. Okay, let me play the song.
Swagger Jagger, you should get some of your own. Count the money, get your game up. Get on the floor.
I hear that song, when I go to the club, there's a Spanish club that I go to, and the DJ's always playing that song when I walk through the door. And I say, man, get your swagger. Oh, man. I like that track, man. I like some of the bubblegum stuff. Man, that's pretty cool. Swagger Jagger, Cheryl Lloyd, or Cheryl Lloyd. I'm always messing up somebody's name, too. Oh, man. Anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday. This is Don S. McClure, the greatest in the world. My number is 347-633-9376. That's the number you can dial to listen in to the greatest, and I do mean the greatest lifestyle show on the Internet, the World Wide Web. What's in? Man, I'm trying to talk a little cool tonight. Did you know we had thunderstorms here that scared the heck out of me? We have a national weather advisory, and I was hoping it didn't get me. And everybody knows I talk to God, right? I talk to him all the time. And I said, God, what's going on with this thunderstorm? He said, Done. I told you to build that boat. And I said, I already got a motorboat, man. He said, I didn't tell you to go buy one. I told you to build one. I said, oh, man, okay, all right. And, yes, my priest is on the line. He's looking at me again, and he's got his fingers crossed. He said, Don, if you don't hurry up and get to confession and say Hail Mary full of grace for all them stories you tell on the Internet, he said, man, you go. And I said, okay, all right. Hey, listen, in 1963, all of you have heard of Minnie Riperton. And I was telling some friends of mine and my friend in Texas and a few other people that Minnie Riperton used to sing doo-wops. And they said, get out of here. I said, no, there's a track when she was the lead singer for a group called The Gems, and it's a song called Pencils and Erasers. And she's saying to her boyfriend, she made a mistake. I keep telling you ladies about this. She made a mistake, and she heard a rumor by her other girlfriends that he was going to just kick her to the curb. And so they sang this song. I remember this song, man, because I played that for some of my ex-girlfriends. I was like, get on out of here. And they said, no, we got a pencil. We'll make it right. Let me quit telling that story, but let me play this track. Minnie Riperton is singing the lead in a group called The Gems on Chess Records called Pencils and Erasers. And I like the song, man. Did you know I won $25 from a friend of mine who didn't believe that that was Minnie Riperton? I said, yeah, she sang some doo-wops, so I'm glad I got my $25. Man, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course I am the one and only on Friday. It is 7:15. We've got 15 more minutes to go before our guest shows up on the show. Her name is Miss Gwen Richardson. She's in Houston, Texas, and she is the coordinator for the National Black Book Festival in Houston, Texas. And I'm really going to enjoy talking to her. So in the meantime, our featured artist for tonight is Lena, who was raised in Texas, and everybody in the world knows I'm wild about Lena. And she was born in Denver, Colorado, but she spent the majority of her time being raised in Texas. So since I always am wild about her, I just thought, what the heck? I'm going to feature Lena as the lead singing artist tonight, or the musical artist or recording artist on my show. Lena has a track that I really like that I played last week called Feel the Love, and I've got three or four tracks I'm going to play by Lena. She was also in the soundtrack for I'm Not the Enemy. That was actually on a Clint Eastwood film. And that's where I first heard Lena, and I was just so impressed. And this girl is just super bad, super fine. I'm super fine, super bad. Oh, okay, all right. And somebody asked me, could I really sing? And I said, heck to the yeah, yeah. And they said, I don't believe you. Let me play Lena, Feel the Love, because this is my girl. I'm going to have big pictures of her in our studio next year, all on my wall. Woo! Lena is so beautiful. Anyway, listen to the track. She's our featured artist for tonight. Feel the Love.
Thank you.
make sure you feel the love. I said, oh, okay, all right. You know what? When Lena first called me on the phone, I almost fell out. I looked at my phone. I said, you got to be kidding. But I was actually trying to get her so I could work on a project, and we're still working on that. But I was so amazed that she is so personable and so beautiful, and man. And, you know, a lot of the people that I talk to online or on the phone or something, I'm just so amazed that their professionalism is such at the top. I mean, even when I call the FBI, and I kid you not, and I've called the CIA to do articles on different people, they actually called me back, and I said, man, this is amazing. So, again, it's all about professionalism and what you're trying to do. That's my girl, Lena, singing Feel the Love, and she's got a bunch of tracks out there. You can get all my music on Amazon.com, where I buy my music from. Just key in an artist's name and support them. Don't always ask for something for free. Try to support these artists and support the authors that create great books because they need your support. And again, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure. It is 7:23, and man, I am getting hyped up. You know how Rocky was in that movie? Dun 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 da da da. Adrian. I like that. I like when she runs and says, I'm coming, Rocky. Oh, man, that's a good woman there, man, especially after he got the fool beat out of him. But he went the distance with Apollo Creed. And they got a new movie coming out, too. His son, Apollo Creed, is going to be taking the boxing gloves to somebody. He's going to be beating up somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to watch the movie. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and, of course, I am the one and only that God says every day he shakes his head and says, Don, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with you. And I say, well, hey, what the heck? You made me. And he said, I know. That's the problem. I'm going to play a track by, let's see, I don't know. I guess I'm going to play some Hood Love. I am hyped up. So after I can do playing this track, then I'll be closer to my guests coming in. And my lights are lit up on my board. I got so many callers calling in, looking at the board. Man, I love that. I just love when people just love my show. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Send my kisses out, and I hope you're doing better. And matter of fact, before we get to the show in deep, let me play my first PSA with my main man, Denzel Washington, for all the new callers and listeners out there. He's asking you to support the Boys and Girls Club, and I like that because he talks about the 3 o'clock bell. So let me get Denzel on the line, and let's listen to this PSA.
It's 3 p.m. For 50 million kids across America, school's out. And for a third of these kids, they're out on their own. Out with nothing to do and nowhere to go. Gives a whole new meaning to the 3 o'clock bell, doesn't it? It's time to support the Boys and Girls Clubs. Visit greatfutures.org.
Oh, man, and I like when he says that. It's the 3 o'clock bell. Man, I have the best PSAs in the country on my site, on my show, on my everything. I'm going to play a track by Regina Bell called You Make Me Feel Brand New that was originally written by Linda Creed, and it was written for the Stylistics. But again, she cuts up on this track, and after that track, I'll be ready to introduce my guest. She should be coming on the line soon. So let's listen to Regina Bell and Calm Me Down, because I'm drinking a lot of red tea and I'm running around the studio. So let me play Regina Bell to get relaxed and get in the mood for a great conversation with Miss Gwen Richardson. So let me play my track, You Make Me Feel So Brand New. I know, man, I like that.
Thank you.
you make? Oh, man, I love that track. And you know what? That track reminds me of all the little girls who used to get my ice cream from my ice cream truck. They said, Dad, you make me feel brand new. Can I have 3 scoops? Oh, man. Dr. K told me stop talking about my ice cream days. I had to listen to my therapist. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me get ready to bring my guest in. She is on the line on the Don S. McClure Show. Her name is Gwen Richardson. She is the national coordinator for the National Black Book Festival in Houston, Texas. Let's give her a round of applause. Yay! And, man, that's a fake group you got in your studio. Miss Gwen Richardson, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, you sound very, very good. I love when my guests come on and they sound really good. I've been talking about you, Miss Gwen Richardson. You are the coordinator for the National Black Book Festival being held in Houston on October 22nd and the 24th. So is it going to go October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, or 22nd and 24th?
Yes, it's October 22nd through the 24th.
Okay, all right, because I read that and I said, man, I know they're not going to jump a couple of days. Well, my audience has been patiently waiting while I talk about my ice cream days, and they want to know more about what made you become the coordinator for such a great event in Houston and how long this has been going on.
Okay, my husband Willie and I co-founded the festival, and it's in its 8th year. And the reason that we started the festival was because we have owned a company called KushCity.com for 15 years now. And the company provides services to, marketing services, mostly to authors to promote their books. But we started off as a book retailer when the internet first took off, and we went online December of 1998. And quickly became a player, and that's what people have called it, in the book industry for African American literature. And one of the few companies that is still around that was started at that time. Several years into starting the company, we had developed so many relationships with so many authors all over the United States. My husband and I were sitting down one day, and we were talking about how great it would be if we could get all, you know, a room full of authors for a weekend to sell their books, meet the public, interact with book clubs, talk about the literary world, and invite the public and give them an opportunity to sell their books as well, and also have some names of featured authors that people know to invite as featured speakers. So we started the first one 8 years ago. I can't remember what year that was. I think it's 2008 maybe, or 2007. And we started the first one then, and it was successful. And so we've kept it going. And it's always held in Houston because that's where we live. It's a lot easier to coordinate something in the city where you live than it is to try to do it somewhere else.
Okay.
And also, Houston doesn't really, this area of the country never has the major national book events. They normally are in New York, sometimes Atlanta, or L.A. And so we wanted to bring something here in this area for people in this area, and we have people that come from all over.
Okay. Now, do you ever invite authors from Dallas and San Antonio and Austin, or do you only invite just the authors mainly from Houston?
No, they come from all over the United States. Most years we have authors from Canada. Like normally either Canada or the Caribbean, someone will come, or both.
Okay.
So
now, how do you get this out? How do you get the word out to people that they know about the National Black Book Festival being held in Houston?
We have an extensive list of African-American authors, extensive, thousands. And we have an extensive list of book clubs and also consumers who purchase books. We promote extensively on social media. The festival has about 65,000 fans right now, and it's constantly growing. So we do a lot of promotion via social media, and we actually invest in promotion via social media, not just the free aspect of it. We actually invest in getting the word out. And then for the public, as far as people who will attend, every year we publish a newspaper that we circulate around the area and to all the offices will be coming throughout, you know, we send them copies so they can distribute it to their friends, and we do about 10,000 of those to let the public know the details of the entire weekend. So that okay. newspaper has the entire schedule of events, and it's free to the public as far as people who attend. All of the exhibits are free. The seminars are free. The featured author sessions are free. The only fees involved for the public are as related to food. So we have four events where we have a reception, two breakfasts, and a power lunch where people have to purchase tickets, but those are optional. And those are available to the public if they want to come. But if people just want to come through the author exhibit hall and purchase books, because that's really what we want people to do, and they do come and buy books from the authors who come. So that's totally free. The parking is free. We have it at a large church in Houston that has a sports facility, and the bulk of it occurs in the gymnasium, which is a huge modern facility. And we have the seminars around. We have the wonderful place, and it's my church as well, the church that I belong to, which is Fallbrook Church in the northwest part of Houston. So we didn't start having it there. We used to have it at hotels, but when we had it at hotels, we had to charge the public, and we had to charge come, and also we had to charge more for the authors. So this way we're able to provide more for the authors, and the public can come for free. And anytime people have to pay to enter something, it's an automatic deterrent. And a lot of people bring their whole families, and if they had to pay for every person, they would spend their money before they even got in the door. And we want them to spend their money at the event with the office.
Okay. Now, do you tie any of this with nonprofit organizations like Save the Children or Feed the Children or some kind of educational thing? Or do you set anything up at this event where there's some form of educational thing for the younger authors as far as school children are concerned?
Oh, well, we always have several children's authors and teen authors who attend and who have books available for them. And our outreach, when we do our newspaper, the way we distribute it is through the school. So we make the event known to and accessible to all the schools in the area, in the 10-mile radius of Houston. And our marketing and social media, we reach a lot of people. So we're not able to do everything. We don't have a Save the Children arm here, and if we do, I'm not aware of it. But, you know, our company puts us on. We don't have any, like, corporate sponsors or major sponsors. We attempted to do that in the past. We've had a few, but we didn't want to create an event that was contingent on having sponsor money that may or may not materialize.
Okay.
So
that's good.
You know, a lot of people try to do things, and that's why people wonder how we've been able to continue to do this for 8 years. And it's because we have been able to create a model where it's not an exorbitant cost for us and it's not an exorbitant cost for people to attend, but it funds itself.
Okay. Hey, now, do you charge the authors a fee to have a booth there, or how does it work?
We have to charge for them to have a booth because we provide additional, you know, marketing for them, and it's a lot that we provide. They get breakfast for 2 days included with their table. And so it's for 2 days, and then, we have the facility. We have to pay. People don't realize how expensive it is to put on an event like this. So, yes, the authors pay. Normally what happens is the earlier an author signs up, the cheaper it is. So We start the registration November 1st for the following year, and it occurs in late October. So the earliest people get the cheapest rate, and then, like, right now we're at late registration, which is $350. And for that, they get a covered table, they get a tabletop sign, their name gets listed on the website with a link. They get, we do a social media promotion for every individual author who's coming we put it on the festival Facebook page. And again, we have 65,000 fans on there. And then they get a free ticket to breakfast and on Friday and Saturday with their table. And I have, I don't know if you've done any exhibiting, but I know the only time I got a meal with my exhibit space was if I paid $1,500.
Oh,
so
okay.
People don't get, you don't get food with your exhibit table normally, unless the exhibit costs a fortune. And most authors, a lot of authors are self-published these days because self-publishing is very easy to do, very affordable. It's a lot more. It used not to be that way years ago. Not even that long ago. When we first started Cush City, self-publishing, the print-on-demand, it wasn't even out yet. It wasn't even an option. The only people who had books were people who got signed with a major publisher, or they would have to go through a printer and print 1,000 copies of whatever it was. And
okay.
A lot of people ended up with boxes and boxes of books in their garage because it's not easy to sell 1,000 books.
Okay.
But some of the people who are well known now started off selling books out of the trunk of their car, basically. And a lot of them, the ones who are publishing now, that's how they got started, by just hustling. And still hustling. When you're an author, a lot of people think they can write a book and people are just going to buy it because they wrote it. Well, that never happens. And if they're waiting for family and friends to buy the book, most of the time, family expects to get it for free, and so do friends. So, a lot of them. So I tell authors, most of your customers will be strangers, people who don't know you personally. A lot of them will be people who heard about the book and just bought it online. You went to speak somewhere, and they bought your book. You went to exhibit somewhere, and the people who were there bought your book. Or you get invited somewhere. Or word of mouth, someone else tells somebody about your book.
Okay.
And,
so,
you know, if you get lucky, you get some publicity. But publicity, like radio or TV or newspaper, magazine, is not easy to come by, and it takes a long time. It's a process. It's not an overnight thing.
Okay. So now, are you your books on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble's and are – you just have them on your website, or what do you have your books at?
My books are on both of those websites that you mentioned, and they're also available through my own website, which is myname.com. It's GwenRichardson.com. And I have 5 books and one that's going to be coming out within the next month that my daughter and I wrote together for teen girls. So I'm constantly writing, and I've been a writer my whole life, but I didn't start writing books until about 7 years ago. But now I'm on a roll now. I'm going to be coming out with at least one book a year and for the next at least 5 to 10 years, because there's information. Most of my books are, I'm a nonfiction writer. I write to disseminate information to people. And there's a lot of information that's just not available in a comprehensive form for some of the things that I write about. And people tell me that my writing and my books really, really helped them. So I am continuing to, my purpose is to inform the public and entertain if I'm doing a novel. But even when I write fiction, I still try to put factual information in there so it can inform people.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, a new writer comes to you and says, I really want to get my book out there, but I truly don't know how to do the marketing side of it. I know how to do the writing and the putting it together, and there's certain companies that they've gone to publish their book, but and it's of course it is self-publishing. But what advice do you give to a writer that really wants to expand their marketing abilities and reach a much broader audience than maybe just their friends and cousins and sorrel sisters or whatever?
Well, my third book actually is a book for self-published authors, and it's called Write It Right, The Guide to Self-Publishing Your Best Book. And in that book, I talk about some of the marketing techniques that people can use. But what I tell people, there's not a one-stop way to market your book. You can be creative with it. I tell people about social media is very important these days. You have social media, though, you have to be more subtle because you can't do a hard sell. It turns people off on social media. If you try to do a hard sell, you have to be more subtle with it. But just telling people, contacting organizations that have an interest in what you're doing, contacting book clubs. Book clubs are a major source for moving books because they pick a book a month to read. And one of the marketing things that our company does, we have developed a list of 1,100 African American book clubs. And people can send out an e-blast to the whole list or a subset of that list for, you know, a reasonable fee. And we prepare the e-blast for people. So those are some ways, but you really have to be creative. And a lot of it depends on the type of book that you have. If you have a nonfiction book and if, let's say, for example, the book that you wrote is about Alzheimer's. Let's say you had a parent that you were a caregiver for that had Alzheimer's. Then you would contact people who have an interest in Alzheimer's. And what I try to tell people when they have to think about what's the market for your book? Who is the end user for your book? And if they tell me everybody, then I know they don't understand. They don't get it because no book is for everybody. The Bible, even the Bible isn't for everybody because some people just aren't Christian or don't want to read it.
Okay.
So you have to zero in on your customer. That's marketing 101. Know who your customer is. And I'll give you an example from my last book that I wrote. It's the scholarship book. It's about debt-free college. And I was able to work on successfully getting our daughter in college, and she's debt-free. She's a sophomore right now. And I did so much work on that, and I used to post little updates on Facebook and scholarship opportunities. And then once I was successful with getting her in school debt-free, I said to myself, you know, I already have the information. I may as well turn it into a book. Well, and my book has over 200 actual scholarships in it because what I did was first year she went to school debt-free, I applied for, and we submitted 82 applications to all kinds of scholarship applications to all different kinds of entities, and it was a part-time job. I constantly was looking. Well, it worked, but that's what it takes. So I named the book 101 Scholarship Applications, What It Takes. I just put 101 out there because that's what it takes. There's no quick fix. Well, my market is parents and students who are going to college. Generally, it's 11th grade, 10th grade sometimes, but generally 11th graders, 12th graders, and people in college because most scholarships are actually for people who are already in school. A lot of people don't realize that. The majority of scholarships are for people already in college. They're not for high school seniors. It's only a subset that's for high school seniors. Well, my market is people going to college and their parents. So that's what I zero in on. for my marketing. You know, I've spoken with Jack and Jill Group. I've recently talked to the alumni group at Florida, from Florida A&M, had an event here for high school seniors. They had me come and speak. My church actually has a youth ministry where and my book is for sale in the church bookstore, and other church ministries, they've asked me to come and speak. So you have to zero in on who the end user is for your book. If you write fiction, depending on what kind of fiction, not everybody reads every kind of fiction. There's all kinds of fiction. There's romance, there's Christian fiction, urban fiction, mystery, fantasy, historical. And each of those genres has their own audience. So you have to look at the people who've written books sort of like the one that you have written, not exactly, but along the same line, so then you can see who the end user is. Romance, for example, people who read romance, they love romance, but it's only a small market that reads them, but they devour. They just read one romance after another. So it just depends on the type of book. If you have a business book, then business owners are your audience, or corporate people. It just depends.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the things that's important with new authors is actually getting them to understand what the whole networking process really does bring to the table. I think that, like when I write a book, and I'm basically approaching it from the stories that I want to tell. And nowadays I go to a lot of seminars and talk to a lot of the other professionals that are at the top of the industries. And we all agree then in the fact of that the storytelling has to be impactful, but it's the way you tell a story and then you define what's in the story, which will help guide you toward your audience. I found that a lot of the new writers don't work with the Friends of the Library. They don't know the exact organizations to actually tie into that would really actually buy a lot of their books and promote their book. I've ran into a lot of new authors who actually only depend on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles, or they try to get on the New York bestseller list. But what I'm telling them, what I always try to tell new authors, there are 5 billion people in this world. There's not one author that has a complete control of the 5 billion process. I do believe that if they approach it from a systematic point of view and really get good advice and know which way they're going, they can actually turn their income into anywhere between $40,000 to $200,000. And it's realistically possible, but the problem they're having, the newer writers don't get the advice to what's got to be your price point on your book. Why do you have a 99-cent book versus somebody that has a $9 book? And I find that there's a fear that a lot of new authors have, well, I can't charge that because I'm so-and-so. I say, listen, let me tell you something. You have to do your research and know why you're charging that, not that you can't. But I do believe that when new writers get the right advice and follow the right paths or patterns, then they can actually turn their author work into what they really truly want to be as full-time writers. And that's something that I think that's so important. That's why I'm asking the question, like, how do we get the advice to them? Because I find thousands of writers out here all saying, I've tried all these other things from, I won't mention some of the publishers' names, but it hasn't really sank in for them. And a lot of them ask me, well, Don, how come yours seem to always do really well? I said, well, that's because I basically spend time on the marketing aspect of it. But I do believe that with the right promotion, such as the events that people are doing, then they can get in and learn the networking process. Now, how did you come up with the name of the National Black Book Festival?
Oh, it's just a name. I mean, we wanted it to be Black Authors, so, and we wanted it to be national. So you just put it together from that.
Okay.
We wanted it to be, because there's a lot of general market. Normally that means white authors, and there might be a smattering of us there. But there's not something that just focuses exclusively. There's very few. Like the Harlem Book Fair, but that's in New York, and people aren't going to go to New York. I mean, some people will go, but that's in New York, and the people in the South for the most part, are not going to go to New York to do that. So we wanted to have, we always look nationally in scope. Now, one thing about authors that I wanted to, about when you were mentioning authors get frustrated, people, I think a lot of people, they think that they can just write one book and just blow up. And most of the people who are successful in the book industry, they have 20 and 30 books. You know, it's not just one book that's going to do it, unless you're already famous. And then, or you get some incredible luck with major national exposure. But that is highly unlikely to happen for most people. And if people would bring their sights in a more realistic fashion and understand most of the people who are successful in publishing today, like the authors that we invite to the festival as featured authors, they have 12 books, 15 books, 20 books. And a lot of them, they really didn't start taking off until their fifth book or their sixth book or their tenth book. So if it takes that for other people to be successful, or for people to be successful in general, then why should it be any different for you? And why, by you, not, I don't mean you, Don. I mean,
no, I know what you mean.
A new author. That's what it takes. It takes work, because you have to continually get your name out there, and it takes more than one book for your name to resonate. Because you have one book, it's considered to be, you know, a book has a shelf life, too. It's not going to be popular forever. It'll be popular for a time. And unless you have a follow-on, it doesn't have to be a sequel, but you have to continually get your name out there. And a lot of times, once you have your fifth book or eighth book, people will go back and read the other book.
Right. Well, I think the thing that new authors are saying, I don't think they're frustrated from the fact of, a lot of them understand that it's not going to be an overnight process. The problem that a lot of them are having,
not the ones
is,
I talk to, but anyway.
Okay, well, the ones I talk to, they understand that it's not an overnight process, because they've talked to other authors and they listen. The problems they're having is they can't seem to understand the factual part about how does one author maintain and provide a system for his work. I've talked to a few friends of mine who are authors, and they say, well, your system's a little bit different from ours. But what I tell them is, in the beginning, when I did my very first book, within 2 weeks the book sold 4,500 copies. And it wasn't the amount of copies that were sold. The book was a $29 book. Therefore, the amount of income versus the friends of mine that had a book that were only $1 or $2 and $3 was totally different. Which, after the 4,000 books were sold, you take that money and you invest into your marketing and advertising. What they're frustrated with is doing a book, coming out with a book that they put their hard-earned effort into. But if the book is only $3 or $4 or $10, by the time you get your book published and you pay this exorbitant fee from, I won't mention a couple of the other companies' names, you're really constantly putting yourself in the hole. So they're frustrated with the fact of that. If they have to buy 100 books and the books are only X amount of dollars, even if they get a price point, they're saying, okay, I bought the book for $8 and I sold the book for $12. When they look at their price points, they're going like, this isn't making any sense. And that's why their husbands or girlfriends or wives are on their back. But what I tell them is, first understand what price pointing is. There is a reason why a book is priced at a certain market level. Now, I still say, if they do the math, a $29.99 book, if they only sell, let's just take the issue of $56. If you do 82 books, that's $4,500 versus a person doing 82 books and has a $3 book. So what they're frustrated with is not getting the proper advice to say, how do I even start the process of getting into the book industry? I don't think that they just don't understand. I just believe that a lot of them are saying, I'm going to my cousin, I'm going to my aunt. I put one guy told me he gave one company $1,800, and he got a lot of books and it never had nothing to do with it. I still say I think the problem is we have to communicate more with the realistic part of that they want to do this. Now, how do they get into the industry versus just being on the outside of the industry? But I agree with you. Some come and think it's going to happen overnight, but a lot of the ones I talk to, they don't seem to think that way. But I still say the most important thing for us to do as authors that have made it or doing events is to set some form where they come and say, look, what do I do first before I spend my money, before I go to that publishing company? And I think that would help them. But I like the way that you approach it. I think the Black Book Festival is a good thing. Houston has that, and that's really good. And I have friends of mine that have other groups that they're doing some great things with their authors. But I know that there's a lot more room for improvement in our industry because that's where people really want to be. But I, you know, salute you for starting off with the National Black Book Festival. Now, this church, what's the address to where the Black Book Festival is going to be held at?
It's Falls Book Church, F-A-L-L-B-R-O-O-K, Church. And it's 12512 Walters Road, and that's Walter, like the person with an S on the end, Road. And that's Houston. Their zip is 77014. And but any calls or any information that people want about the festival, they can go to our website, which is nationalblackbookfestival.com. And they can like our Facebook page. We're constantly updating that as well. And all the information about the event is on the website. If it's an author that wants to register, if they want to know the schedule of events, if people want to buy tickets to some of the eating events, everything is on the website there. I do have one question for you.
Okay.
You said that
like
your book was $29.95.
All of my books started off in the $24, $29 market, and the reason why that was done was because I analyzed going into the book industry like I did a job, and I had been in marketing for God knows how long. Anyway, it didn't make sense to me to get into an industry and make $5 an hour. So I said, if I'm going to be an author and I want to work at this because I'm going to spend time for marketing, developing, pushing, and doing it, I would at least like to spend 8 hours a day and at least make $100. So I started my books off at $24.99. And the reason why I did that, because if I only sold 4 books, not a million, but if I only sold 4 books, I was at my price point. So then I knew that from a marketing point of view, if I did 8 books, I'd be at close to $200. Then I start saying, what's my price point? What's my day point? What's my week point? What's my month point? If I want to get to, let's just say, $2,000 a month or $24,000 a year, what would my price point be to get me to that? Then I used all the networks that I had involved and been involved with. I've worked with 36 governors. I've worked with so many associations. And I contacted them and said, listen, I have a new book out, and I'd like for you to get that book into your organizations. But the marketing aspect started with, do I want to make $1 an hour and go work at some function and spend 8 hours and maybe sell 50 books, but they're only $5? And realistically, that wasn't coming out to any money. So a lot of authors asked me, they said, well, when you do a few books, you're still at your price point. And that's, to me, is where they lost the beginning at. So some people felt that it was going to be like Grisham and the rest of them. I said, listen, I'm not concerned with them. I'm concerned with what my book has to offer the public and what do I get out of it as an author. I can't sell a dollar book and really do anything in the industry. Now, I'm not saying that people can't do it, but I didn't want to be one of them authors running around trying to sell 1,000 books and looking at my price points from a marketing point of view. It wasn't worth it for
okay.
me. So my book started off at that point.
Okay, what type of book do you have?
My first book was my autobiography. That was my first book. My first book was my personal autobiography.
That's most people's first book.
Yeah, my first book was my personal autobiography, and the only reason why I went into that book was because I had been in the diversity marketing area for over 15 years with all the major corporations, and the economy went bad, and I said, okay, I'm not going to be able to get the money I was getting from Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Wendy's, so how do I get back to my cost of living that I enjoyed? So I said, okay, I can't do a $5, $6, $8 book. It won't make any sense for me. Now, after that, then I looked at other authors that I felt I wanted to compete with. And when I did my second book, my agent called me out of California. She said, your book has reached in the top 100 highest paid authors because we were marketing that book at a $30 price. One of my new books is a $35 book. Now, a lot of new authors say, $35? I said, listen, that book's not for you. It's like a Mercedes-Benz. You can buy a Pinto or a Ford if that's what you like. That's not the market of people I'm looking for. The market of people I'm looking for, they buy books at $30, $35, $45 because they feel that the authors are worth that. But it's the marketing that you do before your book comes out or why it's out that makes them feel like that book is worth the money of it. Now, what I'm trying to get authors to understand is that if you don't have a good price point, you can sell a million books, but if you're giving somebody else a part of that million, it's like the lottery. You win $266 million, and they take at least almost $100 million from what you've won. You still have that. The truth of the matter is they have to learn price points and how to reinvest into what they're doing. Even if it's a bad book, they still should walk away with at least $20,000 if they do the right marketing. And they're not doing that. They're walking away with what I call $5 an hour, $10. They're not even getting the regular $15 to $18 an hour because their books aren't priced at that. And when they do their Kindles, they're doing their Kindles for 99 cents, $2.99. Well, Kindle gets a piece of that. So you're not getting a $2.99. You're getting even less. So would you really want a job where they only paid you $2 and you worked 8 hours and you had to come up with selling 300 books? It doesn't make logical sense. So I knew.
Okay, now
not to do
I'm going to interject another side. I don't know how much time we have, but I'm going to interject a different side of the business because you are in a totally different market than the general market of books. You are selling to a corporate audience or that kind of audience that will pay that for a book. You're not selling to the general market who will not pay that for a book unless it's from a well-known person.
Well,
I don't
agree with that, though, Gwen, because I've sold my books to regular people.
I wouldn't pay that for a book.
That's what I'm saying. And it's just like buying cars. There are people that will not pay for a Louis Vuitton bag. Then there's people who will. I think the thing is to show authors. And I've had people who just have regular jobs. I've had people even save up their money and say, I'm going to buy your book. I think that a lot of the authors are going to it with that premise that they would not pay that. But again, that's not the market I'm looking for anyway. The people that I want, the people that I get, and I get people all the time buying the books, and they share books. They buy the books as gifts. They do different things. It's all about the approach of what you're presenting. Like I said, my newest book, The Book of Inspiration, is a $35 book, and people are buying that book at that. And they're not corporate. They're just regular people. It's all about presentation. That's what I truly believe, and I think we need to teach other authors how to really have that presentation package so that they can sell their book for $35.
Okay, now, when you sell your book, first of all, somebody is getting part of that because you have to print the book. So even if the list price is $35, unless you have
getting that much because, again, it goes back to understanding marketing and presentation because I came from that market. I know what the person on the other end should be getting, and it can't be more than what I'm getting. Because if I'm going to be a full-time
author.
Well,
no, it's not going to be more than what you're getting. But what I'm saying is if your price point is $35, the entire $35 doesn't go to you.
No,
because
but
somebody
I'm saying,
has
but,
to print the book.
Right, but the majority of the money does go to me, which is what I'm trying to teach new authors. See,
well, yes,
I understand it's got to be
does.
Printed, but it's
yeah,
all
the majority
based on
does.
This.
But you have to tell people they're not going to be getting the retail price of their book.
No,
that,
but we have to tell them.
That's not all going to them.
No, but
that's
this is what we have to tell them, Gwen. This is what we have to show them, that they should not be in an industry where they cannot make a decent living. I don't mind the person printing the book, But I've always learned, and I've been in marketing for God knows how long, you never have a car dealership make more money off the car in an upside-down contract. What we're trying to do is avoid or get them to learn how do they market their book and what are they supposed to be their price point on the cover of the book so that it makes sense for them to be doing it. But if they're doing it where, let's just say the price point for the publisher is, let's say out of the $35, they're getting 18 of it. That doesn't make any sense because it doesn't cost them that much to produce the book. So, again, teaching them the right way is what I try to do with the newer authors. But if somebody doesn't want to pay $35, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not going to be in an industry where I'm starving to death just so I could write a book. For me, it just doesn't make any sense. But
I can't do that one. The way that you're doing it is different from the average person in terms of, one, the type of book that they're writing. Most people's books, the first books, are autobiographical. Most of the time when I run into somebody, they say, you know, my book is about my life, okay? And what I tell them, for the most part, unless you can show where your life is relevant to somebody else, or you're already famous, or you're extremely well-connected, like you sound like you were extremely well-connected, that's a different person from the average person who says they want to write a book about their life. And they're not trying to make the people that I meet, a lot of them are not trying to make a living selling their books. And right away, they really just want to get a book out there. And that's a different person. What you're saying to make your living writing books and selling your books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember when I went into
this. Type of person.
Oh, yeah, but when I went into this, for me, and I always tell authors this, I say, listen, I wanted to be able to go and fill out a credit form and they say, what do you do as a living? I'm an author. When I have my credit card machine that says, what did you do? I'm an author. That was for me because that's what Dumas did. That's what everybody that I admired. So, again, for me, it was different. I knew if a basketball player said he was a basketball player, he went from the semi-pros, but he wanted to be in the pros. And when he went somewhere, he wanted to be a basketball player professionally. Now, I don't have a problem with the ones who don't want to do that. But for me, it was just a shining light bulb to say, a doctor says he's a doctor. He's gone to school. He's done what he's had to do. Now, for the ones that just want to write a book, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I tell people all the time, that's good. There's a difference. But I wanted to be a full-time author, travel the world, travel the cities, be able to take pictures of what I did like Ken Burns does and some of the other guys I admire. That is what they do for a living. And so for me, that's why I got into it like that. And I don't advise that for everybody because it's difficult. But I wanted to be able to say when I give out a business card, I am a full-time author, and this is what I get paid for. And to make them understand that if they want to go into it, there is an opportunity for them to do that and not just write a book, become a full-time author. And that's important for them.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people I know that that have written numerous books, and they still aren't full-time authors. But it just depends on the type of book and the market and your goals. A lot of them would rather keep their full-time jobs because of the benefits and the insurance and so forth than to give that up with the uncertainty of the book industry. And nowadays, the industry has changed a lot, and the advances are not anywhere close to where they used to be. The ebook business has dramatically changed things. And some people don't even do physical versions of their books at all. They do everything in ebook form. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on where a person is in their life and what they want to do with their time and if they want to be a full-time writer. I own a business and I'm stationary, so I'm not looking to travel around the country that way. I want my books to travel digitally or virtually, and I would rather speak locally unless some other opportunity presents itself to travel. I used to travel years ago, and then I had my daughter, and then I was raising her. Now she's in college. So I can pursue some of that. But that's really not my goal. I would like to be able to make a living writing books and speaking, but I don't need to make that shift immediately. I can work my way up to that, if you see what I'm saying. But it just depends on where a person is in their lives.
And I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that, that, like I said, it's a choice that whether you want to do this all the time, like some people sing part-time. I don't have a problem with any of that. I just think that at least let's open the doors and show them that if they decide to become a full-time author, there is an avenue they can take, and 89 to 90% it will work for them. I think a lot of the authors are frustrated because nobody's shown them that. I just think that a lot of them are looking for that because they would like to go home to their nieces and nephews and cousins and say, I am a full-time author. Now, for the ones who don't want to do that, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's great. But I think just like they go to school to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever it is, they at least get the information to say, if you do this and this and this and this, you can get into these industries, and this is the starting rate for that. I think that that's something that we need to concentrate on, and I think that will help a lot of the writers even write better or become more focused because they know they have an ends to the means. But again, like I said, that's just how I see it. Doesn't mean everybody got to do what I do. I think that that's great that you're giving the National Black Book Festival. I want people to go and enjoy it, and I think they're going to get some good advice there. I think Beverly Johnson's going to be at your thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's one of the featured authors.
Yeah, and she's real good. Mm-hmm. I like Beverly. Yeah. You know, I met her some years ago in the modeling industry.
So she has one book, but she's already famous, you know. So, a lot of people already have one book in them. You know, a lot of people don't have follow-on books. They really just have one book, and they just want to get that out there.
Yeah,
but they
good.
Would like to recoup their costs, and you can publish very inexpensively today and still look professional with it if you know what you're doing.
Right.
And I talk to people a lot. In my book, that's what I told people about. You can publish a book inexpensively, but you have to know. But you don't want to do it cheaply. Because a lot of people, they don't get their books edited. That's the biggest complaint now about self-published books is the poor editing or lack of editing.
Mm-hmm. I've read into 15 million bad editors, but I do believe that there's some good ones out there. But I still say to them, you know, try to find the right advice. And I think that's what we're all supposed to be doing, and I think that's what you're trying to do. I think the newer authors just want some guidance, and I think what they want is some realistic guidance. I don't think that they don't think that they can't find it. They just want – I think what the most thing is people are just tired of going to all these different things and talking to all these different people and still ending up back at the same place they were when they started doing their book. And I find a lot of them are frustrated with that. That's why they're writing me and saying, well, you know, what do I need to do? Because you seem to be going along. And I've ran into some crappy editors, but – that doesn't stop me from continuing on. But I think our people, especially African Americans, we're just looking for the right advice. And I think you're doing a good thing in Houston. Listen, I got to play a quick PSA, and when I come back, I've got a few more minutes to talk to you, and then we're going to close the show out. But I'm enjoying what you're talking about, and I want people to go or try to learn more about October 22nd and the 24th, which is the National Black Book Festival being held in Houston. And you're listening to the national coordinator, who is Miss Gwen Richardson, and her husband plays a critical role in that, so that's a good thing. That's a husband and wife team. And we're going to be right back, Gwen, to stay with us for a minute, but I need to play this quick PSA, and when I come back, we've got a few more minutes to talk to Gwen Richardson.
Okay.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started, my entire chest, shortness of breath, very fatigued,
nauseated, thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Hi, Margaret. It's Angie. I brought dinner today.
This is the sound of help.
Okay, everyone, story time.
The sound of strengthening communities.
Well, this new insulation really going to save you on utility bills.
The sound of changing lives. Michigan Community Action is a network of agencies helping people achieve greater financial and personal independence through programs such as Head Start preschools, weatherization, food distribution, and utility assistance. The programs supported by Michigan Community Action benefit people all over the state. Maybe you've just lost your job and are having trouble making ends meet. Or maybe you're retired and Social Security isn't enough. Whatever your situation, we may be able to help. Visit MichiganCommunityAction.org or call 855-MI-ACTION to find out more. Helping people. Changing lives. Sponsored by Michigan Community Action and Michigan Broadcasters.
And we're back, and we're talking to Ms. Gwen Richardson, who I'm enjoying our conversation. And she is the coordinator for the National Black Book Festival being held in Houston, Texas. Gwen, what some kind of advice would you like for them to get after they leave the festival?
Oh, in terms of what do they do with the advice they get from the festival? Or
yeah, after they've left and they've enjoyed the festival, yeah. I mean, what's their next step after they leave and they come to you and say, I really want to do this thing?
Well, I don't personally help people publish their books. That's not the role that I play. I normally refer them to the places where they can go, or I refer them to my book where I put everything in there, because I do book writing seminars or people who want to self-publish, and a lot of the information in my book came out of just accumulating information over several years. But I would say once people leave the festival, they are highly motivated. They're either highly motivated to write their next book or finish the book that they have a manuscript for and never published, or to refine and improve on what they have, or to take their book to the next level in terms of more exposure to more people. And they make a lot of contacts at the festival. Sometimes authors who come, they'll meet 8 or 10 book clubs there who pick their book. And so they have a basis for selling their book over a period of time. So a lot of times, besides the sales that you get from the event, networking connections that you get, the contacts that you meet, the readers that you meet, and the motivation that you get just from being around all these other people who are writers too, is unique and is really life-changing. Last year, we had a group of children's authors who got together and formed a networking group among themselves called the Children of Color Author Group. And they go to different events and share space with their children's books, an opportunity that they wouldn't have had they not come to the festival. And they took a group picture on their own at the event, and that picture of them is the cover for this year's newspaper for the festival.
Oh, okay.
So there are all kinds of opportunities that come out of the event. People get book deals as a result of coming there and meeting publishers. There's just all kinds of things that happen. So a lot of times authors work in isolation because writing is a solitary exercise. It's not something you can do with other people. But the other aspect of getting out there and getting yourself known is extremely important, because especially when you first get started, or even after you started, like you talked about, people buy the author's energy, their enthusiasm, their passion, but you have to be out there doing that for them to even know
that you're out there. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's a great way, a great vehicle for people to network, sell books, be motivated, and make connections. It's just and it's invaluable.
Well, listen, give them the address to the website, the dates,
phone
numbers. Yeah.
Okay. The dates are the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the 22nd through the 24th of October. It's in Houston. The website is National Black Book Festival.com, all spelled out. We have a toll-free number that they can call. It's 1-800-340-5454 if they need to speak with someone. But all of the information that they need is actually on the website.
Well, Gwen, I have enjoyed you being on my show. We've had a great dialogue, and, you know, I'm going to invite you back as a guest again. I'm going to try to make that one in October if I can see how my schedule works. And so I'll probably get a ticket or come down or however it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to seeing more about the National Black Book Festival. It's been a joy having you on my show. And, again, I'm going to have you on one day where we can talk about something, maybe even after the festival. But you've been a great guest, and I'm glad you tuned in tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'll be looking for you out there in social media.
Okay, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks for being a guest on my show.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was Ms. Gwen Richardson. I enjoyed the dialogue we had, and it was just amazing that there are so many people out there doing great things in the book industry and inviting new people and trying to get them on track. I've got a track. I've got a play for you. Again, I just love the Don S. McClure Show. We're one of the best shows in the internet world. And again, man, it is just such a joy to be here. Let me play My Girl. Actually, I'm going to play this track, That's What Friends Are For, because I like my friends. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And I'm glad you did a great job at being on my show. And that's what friends are for, to be together, to love, to push each other. Kumbaya.
I do.
And that's what friends are for, and I'm telling you, that's what friends are for. I like that song. I really enjoyed it when they recorded it, and I just like it any goddarn way. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. I am the one and only. It's almost time for me to go. I'm going to play one more track. The number you could listen to the show any Friday is 347-633-9376. That's the number you can dial in. And go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net, and that's where you can find my books. And every time that you buy a book, we send a donation to a children's hospital. And we now have the senior program where you can buy a book as a gift for a senior who maybe can't afford it but wants to read it. I've been getting a lot of emails from seniors, and I've talked to a lot of friends of mine in Texas and other cities who are saying, you know what, put me down. I'm going to get a book for a senior. So, again, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy life. It's been great. I always tell you, enjoy life. That's all you have. And whatever you want to pursue, stick with it, up or down, because you can make something work. I'm going to play my girl, Mary J. Blige, Hood Love, and I'm going to get out of here because I see some girls outside my window with ice cream cones, and they're ready to throw ice cream at me. I thought they forgave me. Man, they got the long arm of memory. It's been 18 years, and they're still throwing ice cream at me. Have a good weekend, everybody. I enjoyed you being on the show.
Not for too long. You are someone I depend on.